Welcome to Maryland Solutions with Reverend Maryland, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Maryland as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Maryland.
Glad to have you with me today and joining me on the air. This is our first show at KLAY Radio Talk Show. Want you to call in with any questions and comments that you have. And today our guest is Vince Horan of Horan Counseling Services. We also have a visitor sitting in, Mac Van Wyk, and glad to have him here too. I want to let everybody know that we have some sponsors, and our first sponsor today is Crystal of Crystal's Voyage. It's a wonderful metaphysical supply store full of books, cards, gifts, crystals, jewelry, music, aromatherapy, and video rentals. It has a lot of delights for people to come and shop and browse and just enjoy. She's located at Frey House Square, entrance number 2 in Tacoma. Her phone number is 253-272-GEMS. That's 253-272-4367. Our next sponsor is Olalla Treatment Center over in Olalla, Washington. They're doing a terrific job of helping people in the disease recover. They also work with the family program. And that's really important for people to know today, that the disease of addiction includes the whole family. And it needs treatment and recovery just like the person addicted to the drugs and alcohol. If you know somebody in your family or friends that needs help with recovery, call 253-857-6201. That's 253-857-6201. I'd also like to share about Evelyn Mulvey's Partners Counseling Services in Federal Way. It's okay to not have it all figured out. It's a new year, a new beginning, a new life. And every day is a new day. Today may be that day you choose to invest in your happiness. If you want a partner on that path, call or email Evelyn Mulvey at Partners Counseling Service, 253-839-3642, or email Evelyn Mulvey at hotmail.com. How do you feel about your relationships, work, home, family, future? Short-term, solution-focused, confidential, affordable counseling may help make this year the best it can be. Evelyn is Washington State licensed and is a clinical member of the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists. Evelyn Mulvey follows a wellness model which focuses on developing your strengths so you may take charge of your own growth and develop in mind, body, and spirit. To find new ways of making decisions about old or new problems, she will work with you as a professionally guided guide and resource person and as a mentor assisting you to respond to those behaviors, attitudes, and feelings that interfere with your peace of mind. Call her at 253-839-3642 or email Evelyn Mulvey at hotmail.com. Well, we want to introduce Vince Horan of Horan's Counseling Services. He specializes in corrective parenting, individual and couples counseling, addictions, adolescence, ACOA, and codependency. So glad to have you here today, Vince.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Vince has been a friend of mine for almost 17 years now.
Wow.
I met you at Puget Sound Hospital.
Yep.
And you literally saved my life. Mm. And I'm totally grateful for that. Thank you. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it weren't for Vince Horan.
That's very sweet of you to say, but it was your courage
that
saved your life.
I had to see the light.
Yeah, I was glad to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. You asked me a very simple question that broke the denial and opened up a whole new lifestyle for me, and I'm really appreciative.
Do you remember the question?
Yes, I do. I had been given a prescription of Valium from a doctor, and I was the dutiful patient, and I always took them, not knowing I was predisposed to alcoholism, and not understanding that Valium is the ultra-dry martini. And so you said, Marilyn, why do you take those pills? And, of course, knowing it was from the doctor's point of view, it was a prescription, something I just, my mind kind of skipped over, and inside my head said, doesn't everybody? And all of a sudden, the clue came in, no, they don't.
That's right.
So when I found out that one pill and one drink is six times the effect, and things started to fall in place that I had this disease, and really was very ignorant about what that disease was about. And one of the things I would like to encourage on this show is for people to find out more about alcoholism. There's still a lot of misunderstanding, misinformation, and lack of knowledge about what the disease really is about and how it happens.
I agree.
Okay. Well, we'd like to know more about you right now, and if you'd like to share some of your history of how you got into counseling.
It's really been a fascinating journey. When I was in college, I was in graduate school at Gonzaga University. I was in philosophy, but I wasn't sure where or what I was going to be doing in philosophy. So one of the things that happened was we went to a seminar that included both philosophy students and counseling students. And in that seminar, they brought in some teenagers. And the instructor asked the teenagers to describe what they wanted with as a counselor. And as I listened to them, I understood where I was to go. And that day I made the switch in programs from the Masters of Philosophy to the Masters in Counseling. And that began the journey for me. And pretty much all throughout my life I've had a variety of experiences kind of guiding me in the directions of how and where I should take my skill and expertise.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Interesting story. What credentials have you now acquired that help support your work?
Well, beyond the master's in counseling, I'd also done training I have a Doctor of Ministries degree, which was a part of learning to heal, the difference between spirituality and psychology. I had worked in the professional helping field for a number of years. I was at Olympic College in Bremerton, and I came back to my home after a divorce and was kind of pretty much confused. I went back to my local parish and became a youth minister. Through that program, I got a training in, I got offered a Doctor of Ministries training program. I wanted to kind of heal the split within me between my spirituality and my psychology. And what I found was a wonderful blend, that here were a bunch of religious people who were trying to understand and connect religion to life. And I was a person who had a lot of skills about life, but trying to find my spirituality. So I found wonderful healing in that process, and a lot of what I do is very spiritually based. A little later on, our nephew, my wife's nephew, had come to live with us from Georgia, and he was alcoholic. He was sent up here, and he got a DWI up here, which we put him in treatment at Puget Sound Treatment Center. And I attended the family program there.
And that's how I got started there, too.
That's right. And it was from that place that I began to understand what was missing for me as a therapist and professional, because as a family counselor before that, I always noticed that when alcoholism was involved, that I couldn't make much progress if they didn't deal with the alcoholism. When I sat in on those family sessions, I also began to understand my own family history of alcoholism and dysfunction. So I did some personal work for myself and then did training at Pierce College to become a certified alcohol and drug counselor. Eventually, that led to my working in the alcoholism field at Puget Sound Treatment Center, where we met.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the early 80s. For me, it was 83 is when I started at Puget Sound. But also along in that movement, I had a great deal of interest of combining both the understanding of family systems with alcoholism and addictions. And that took me into further training, where I learned a lot of developmental psychotherapy, I was part of a group called In Depth and the Corrective Parenting Institute. And I did a lot of the early groups in codependency and adult children of alcoholics. So all of that training together, kind of it was a blend of growing myself and a blend of learning newer and greater skills to have a much more holistic approach to the counseling and therapy that I do.
Well, that's fascinating. There's a lot of information that you've gathered through all your experience and training, I know. And it's been very beneficial to a lot of people because you've been doing this for quite a few years now. So I'm sure a lot of people are grateful for your being able to have all this knowledge. And we want you to stay tuned for the next session coming after these commercials. Thank you. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We're so pleased today to have Vince Horan in our studio and talking with him about his counseling services. Before we move on, I want to remind you that we're sponsored by Crystal's Voyage over at Freight House Square in Tacoma, by Olala Treatment Center that helps people in recovery, and by Partners Counseling Services in Federal Way. We're glad to have Vince here, but before we move on, I'd like to share with the listeners some of the upcoming topics we have coming. Next week, Reba Jean Kane will be discussing Feng Shui, and she teaches that in a local college. Also, she will talk about flower essences and astrology. She's my astrologer, so I think she does a great job. Henry Leo Bolduc will be on the following week from Virginia. We will call him and talk with him about his research and training for past lives and regression. I have gone back to Virginia and taken his classes and worked with regressive regression and past therapy myself. And he got involved when he first heard about Bridie Murphy in the 50s, when the movie and the book first came out. And I remember picking up a magazine in the doctor's office in the 50s and reading Bridie Murphy. And he's been involved ever since. The next week we will have Sidney Kirkpatrick, author of the best-selling book Edgar Casey, An American Prophet. This is an opportunity to hear someone who was the only person who's ever been allowed to go into the vaults of the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, and go through the records of the psychic readings that Edgar Casey did and put them into book form. So there's some wonderful opportunity to hear some new and wonderful information and how he took all these facts that he found and put them into such a readable book amazes me as an author. I couldn't put the book down. It was wonderful. We'll be calling him down in Pasadena. And at the end of the month, we will have two local recovering meth people, methamphetamine people in recovery, sharing their experience and sharing how their story is and providing strength and hope for others who are in that predicament and looking for answers. So we have a packed program for the coming weeks. Please tune in. Hopefully those will be topics that you will be interested in or something new that you maybe aren't familiar with and are wanting to tune in for that reason. I know that some people are aware that this is a talk show, and I haven't given you the phone numbers yet. So I want you to call in Pierce County, 253-584-1480. In Pierce County, the number is 253-584-1480. And if you're calling from King County, the phone number is 253-804-5765. King County, 253-804-5765. Feel free to call in if you have questions for Vince or myself, and we'll do our best to answer them. We want to get back with Vince now and find out what problems he works with in his counseling center.
In our practice, we work with people who have done initial forms of recovery themselves and are wanting to look at the more long-term in-depth issues, usually related to unresolved traumas from the past, self-esteem issues, things that they know they are very capable in their adult life but find interference at some point in being able to function or live up to their potential or sustain healthy intimacy or relationships. So what we try to do is help them to understand and then where these traumas come from through personal histories, and then do the kinds of treatments to teach them skills or to resolve trauma or fear or guilt or shame or whatever is a part of their life process that keeps them blocked and keeps them from attaining their full potential.
Well, I know from my experience, it takes a lot of courage to address those topics and those issues and walk through them. So you have some pretty brave people over in
yes.
your service.
Yes, we do.
That's wonderful that they can do that. Are recovering people from alcoholism and codependency the major part of your practice, or do you work with other issues?
Well, both. We do have quite a few people who have done a lot of their own work in recovery who want to continue in their wellness. As you know well, in the addictions field, getting clean and sober is only the first step.
Exactly.
And once you have a solid foundation in recovery, many recovering people find that the quality of life that they lacked skills and development to find a soul or a spiritual purpose and focus, how to create healthy lifestyles and habits mm-hmm. that promote wellness and well-being for mm-hmm. them as individuals. So we work with people on that level to understand why they didn't get that kind of training in the first place. As you know, that many addicts in recovery come from families with their own forms of addictions. And so they grew up in an environment that was not very healthy or well-skilled. So they have to unlearn old habits and then learn to experience new ways of being in the world. And often that means changing lifestyles, changing social systems, practicing and trying on behaviors that are completely foreign. We used to call it rehab when we were in treatment. Now we call it habilitation because for some, they never had the beginnings. And so what we try to do is help them create that foundation.
I think that's wonderful. In my experience, it started way back when that I had to completely go back from the very beginning and recreate myself.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. Do you work with only individuals or include couples in your counseling?
No, we do a lot of work. One of the things that Sandra and I together discovered in doing our own personal therapy is that there wasn't a lot of support for couples or marriage in relationships. So we thought that that would be something that we really wanted to focus on, that lots of times when one or the other of a couple gets into therapy, it creates more problems in the relationship because the growth is different from mm-hmm. one. They're usually right. one is ready to go and the other is still kind of stuck in old ways of thinking. So we have done a lot of research and training in couples therapy. We have an ongoing couples group. We do couples workshops periodically, and we do couples sessions.
That's wonderful. I know from my experience it is kind of a somebody grows and somebody doesn't, and it can be really a difficult time to overcome that.
Absolutely.
If you would share with our listeners how alcoholism and codependency affects the couples in their relationship. I know that that's basically where the problems start from.
Well, if there is an active addiction in a relationship, then there is very little opportunity for healthy intimacy because the addicted person is usually consumed with protecting their own addictive behaviors. And so problems begin to show themselves in a relationship. And it's very hard because you're sitting across a table looking at somebody you love and care for. But what you're really dealing with is a toxic mind that is preoccupied with the perpetuation of its own addiction. So it brings a lot of grief. There's a lot of pain and devastation. Often abandonment or a betrayal or abuse or violence that perpetuate as the addiction grows. So we always deal with confronting the addiction as primary. Before you can do any work on rehabilitating the relationship, you need to address the addiction and get that addicted person in recovery. As well as, if a person has lived with an addict for a long period of time, they have developed what's called their codependency or dependency with. In other words, they've abandoned their own feelings, wants, and needs, and they have adapted their life to coping and surviving with an active addict in whatever form that addiction takes. So the codependent also needs treatment for themselves. Addiction, as you mentioned earlier, is a family disease. Intervention usually happens when anyone within the family is willing to seek help because they feel a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness. And so we've discovered it used to be that we would try to focus only in on the particular addict, alcoholic, drug addict, whatever. But now we find that a family system can be affected when anybody within that system is willing to seek help. And it's that person's going for their wellness which begins to affect the dis-at-ease or the dis-ease of the system itself.
Well, from my experience, codependency is as fatal as the active alcoholic or that part of the disease. I had a relative that committed suicide over her codependency. And the chronic progressive disease affects the codependent just as strongly as the one involved with drugs.
Absolutely, because the codependent loses a sense of self. They become more preoccupied with adapting to whatever they need to do to survive the external circumstance. And so even when codependents, and what they experience is that the harder they try, the behinder they get. They feel a deep sense of powerlessness, a loss of control over their life. Often codependents then turn to addictions themselves, so that many people kind of are dually affected. They have multiple layers of addictive behavior. Codependency, maybe an alcohol problem, maybe a spending addiction or gambling addiction or a sexual addiction or eating disorder. There are so many ways that we build survival skill upon survival skill. Ultimately, an untreated codependent will feel a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness in life.
And I also know that you can substitute one addiction for another. So just because one addiction is supposedly under wraps or in better control doesn't mean the person has totally become well until all addictions are addressed.
Now, Patrick Carnes, who was a pioneer in the sexual addiction field, made a profound statement that's always stayed with me. He said that addictions come in threes.
And what it means
is that think of addictions as coping strategies. But if there is an underlying dysfunction that doesn't resolve itself, when you use one strategy but still you can't find any peace and happiness, it's very easy then to create another strategy to put on top of that one, and then down the road pick up another strategy. And what I found was that people in treatment, for example, when I worked at Puget Sound in the inpatient treatment, there was a high incidence of sexual abuse or domestic violence. And that patients in treatment would turn to relationship addiction as a way to cope, which would often lead to relapse in their alcoholism. Or they would turn to eating disorders. You know, I remember when people would come into treatment, they'd take them off the alcohol. They would head for the candy machines. They would head for the Coke machine, you know, put that sugar, caffeine, and they used to... Back then, they used to smoke like crazy.
That's what I was going to say, is there some of them are still smoking like crazy.
Right, yeah. So it is a matter of peeling the onion and taking off layers to really get down to finding who I am and then rebuilding a life.
Well, I just really appreciate Vince being here today and helping us to better understand alcoholism and its manifestations in part of our lives and in couples. So we are want to say thank you and have you come back and join us after the next commercial. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I would like to welcome people back in the listening audience to Maryland Solutions. This is Marilyn, and in the studio today we have Vince Horan. I am encouraging people to pick up that phone, even it might be kind of heavy, but pick it up and call 253-584-1480 or 253-804-5765 in King County. We are looking forward to your questions or comments, anything that interests you about what our topic is today. Hopefully we can answer whatever you have in mind to share with us. I would like to ask Vince if he would like to explain about an intervention.
Yeah, when I was at Puget Sound Treatment Center, I got involved with an intervention specialist group through the Seattle Helpline. And what intervention is about is being able to provide therapeutic interventions in family systems as a way to help arrest a growing chronic progressive disease before it goes to catastrophic levels. There are two different kinds of intervention. One is the catastrophic intervention, which usually is a run-in with the police, a court, a judge telling you to treatment or go to jail, a threat of divorce, a threat of losing your job. Interventions, people don't need to progress to that series. What we found was that when, as I mentioned before, any family member begins to show an interest or a concern for well-being, that they can come in and get help and begin to experience a way of trying to intervene on their loved one before there's a catastrophic consequence.
Well, I think that's wonderful that that opportunity is there. When you intervened me, it was very catastrophic in some ways, but it was also necessary for me to have that accomplished in my life, or I might not have taken the steps to further improve my life. And it was a turning point. It was a definite turning point.
Right.
And so that's an important part of helping people. How does one get trained to do this intervention?
Well, at that time, we were doing a lot of training in the addictions field. Back then, there was a lot of national organizations because we didn't have a lot locally. And so the group in Seattle then created an intervention specialist coalition. We used to meet at the Seattle Helpline. I haven't been a part of that for a number of years, so I don't know if they're still involved, but it's basically learning about the addictions, learning how to intervene with family members, how to train family members so that they can do an intervention in a loving, caring way to confront the disease or dysfunction of the family and still care about them. And to assist people in finding the resources that are out there and available, because so many people feel a sense of powerlessness because they don't know what kind of help is available. So we do a lot of education, a lot of training, a lot of grief work, and a lot of instruction. And then eventually to sit in the actual intervention, sit in and provide support to do the intervention itself.
Is that a call-in? Okay. Do you know what kind of percentage of results you get with intervention?
Well, my experience has been that it's been a pretty high incidence of when we've trained families and gone through it. When you gather that family together to do the experience, that it touches deep into the soul of the addicted person or the person who is in need of help, and that they will respond. The other thing that I say to family members is that intervention is about your wellness. So the fact that they are coming to understand this disease that has inflicted their family, that they are in the process of wellness. They are the primary clients when they come there. We hope that through the process of education and preparation that we can intervene on that identified person's addiction and get them into the process of help. But we also plan for their having clear boundaries and ultimatums so that they no longer support the progressive addiction, which sometimes leads the addict to a quicker bottom, that they may get help. So there are times where it doesn't happen where a person does the intervention session and go to treatment. They may walk out. They may be really mad. I had one incident last year where we were intervening on a compulsive gambler. And he came in, saw everybody gathered, said, "I know what this is," and he walked out of the room.
Oh, my.
But the family continued to have a plan, and they worked that plan. And 3 weeks later, that individual went to treatment.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, so it does work, but it doesn't always work the way we script it to work. Sometimes it's continuing to get the family members and the loved ones, keeping them educated and clear about their boundaries, is a way to continue the intervention over time.
I would like to remind our visitors that they are welcome to call in on our phone lines. They are open if you have a chance to get to a phone. The phone for Tacoma is 253-584-1480. 253-584-1480. The King County phone line is toll-free, 253-804-5765. Join us on 253-804-5765. Vince is here helping us better understand about addiction and various forms of recovery. And we're talking right now about interventions. Are interventions only used for alcoholism? You did mention just a minute ago a gambler.
Right. No, I've done a variety of different kinds of interventions. We've done interventions on youth, youth who have been in some form of depression or acting out or mental illness behaviors. As I mentioned, interventions on people with spending addictions, gambling addictions, sexual addictions. So it isn't just relocated. The concept of intervention grew up in the alcoholism treatment field, but now it has expanded to a much broader area, and the principles of intervention can be used for any form of dysfunction.
Well, that's good to know. Who initiates this intervention?
Usually it's initiated by any family member who initially says, "I feel helpless and powerless and I don't know what to do anymore," because conventional norms of communication simply don't work. And so they seek help. Once they seek help and they get some information, what they will then do is bring in a number of other family members or friends or co-workers or spiritual advisors or whoever is significant to that person, and we begin then the process of training and education and deciphering who would be well-versed in doing the intervention process.
If an intervention is successful, do you do the treatment?
No. Usually what we do is have the family who is doing the intervention, we have them do research. I give them brochures of treatment facilities that are available locally or outside of the state, if there is more outside of the state. And we have them call those places and set up the treatment facilities. So we are more a referral. You know, we help the family to focus on it, set it up, and then we refer them to treatment facilities outside of our facility.
Okay. What kinds of therapy do you do in your practice?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we do individual therapy. We do group therapy, and the group therapy is more a long-term therapy for people who are looking to really resolve deep issues of depression or anxiety that they don't understand the origins of it and don't have the personal skills. So we do group therapy. We do couples therapy. We also do assessments for addictions and referral process.
I found group therapy to be real unique. Maybe you might just make a comment about that.
Well, the benefit of group therapy is that it's, one, you get the chance to experience that your problems are not unique to you, that many of the maladies that keep us from our peace and happiness and serenity are universal phenomena, and that you learn vicariously by watching other people as they express themselves, and there is so much mutual identification. It's more difficult when doing one-on-one therapy because you're focused more there on getting a lot of information, some skill, and you're limited to the resources of the therapist and what your experience is. In group therapy, there is so much more we can do, because we can also do a lot of energetic dynamics so that it's not just talking one-on-one, but we do grief work, we do anger work, we do role plays, psychodramas, regressive work. So the resources are so much more profoundly aware. So the individual gets affected. And we tend to find that group is more like a microcosm of the universe. It's a microcosm of the macrocosm. When you get in a group setting, you will create the relationships that you struggle with outside in the world in the group setting. But there you have, two facilitators and a structure that helps to keep you safe, but also challenges you to learn new skills to work through the fears or the ignorances that you've had in life in general.
You mentioned a second facilitator. Who do you work with?
I work with my wife, Sandra. Sandra and I have been working together now for 11 years. She also did a lot of her initial training in the drug and alcohol field. She worked with youth and adolescents a great deal. But we also did our own personal forms of therapy in family of origin types of therapy and corrective parenting. So we decided to work together. We've been doing that now for 11 years out in Spanaway at our facility. She is a wonderfully intuitive and powerful person. And having a husband and wife, I think, has been a real benefit to a lot of our clients, for them to have hope and recovery, to see that we can be separate and work very well together.
Well, that's wonderful that you can do that. We want to stop now for the next segment of commercials and information, and we'll return. Thank you very much. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. This is Marilyn, and we're sitting here with our guest, Vince Horan, from Horan Counseling Services. And I wanted to ask him how much the costs are for his group services.
Our group services are $260 a month. Our individuals or evaluation sessions are $85 an hour. But we also negotiate with people because we don't want money to be a reason they don't come to therapy.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. We generally don't take insurance. What we do is have people pay us directly, and we'll give them the information to send in for reimbursement. But we don't do direct insurance billing.
Yeah, I don't either. I understand Sandra is also a personal trainer and that you have a gym as part of your practice.
Yes. Part of the holistic approach to therapy, as I mentioned earlier, is that many people don't have healthy living skills. We've found exercise, healthy eating habits, a way that promotes wellness. And Sandra is a certified personal trainer through the American Council on Exercise. And so we brought in some of the best equipment, and the space available to our counseling center right next door came open. So we've been there for 5 years. It's a training center called Mind, Body, Spirit. And what she does there is develops particular personal programs for people, both in eating and exercise and cardiovascular, to meet their personal goals of wellness. We also find that getting into your body and learning to work helps people from staying out of depression. It helps them to move through their anger, and it gives them a sense of heightened energy and confidence to see, because in the gym you can physically see the success as it occurs, whether it's inches or weight dropping off or increased strength or stamina. It's a vital and wonderful service. And we find that maybe half of our counseling clients also participate in the gym, but we also find there's a lot of people from the outside that simply come because they want wellness, and especially after the holiday season. Coming in and doing some work to take off those extra pounds is helpful.
Right. Well, I really support that, because I know recovery is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and the physical is as important as the rest.
Absolutely.
I noticed that you've added a massage therapist to your operation.
Right. You know, having a gym next door, and one of the things that we find is that so many people have had poor boundary issues around the physical being, so they're afraid of connecting. And what we find with people who have relational addiction problems or sexual abuse problems is that they don't know how to experience touch or healing in the body in a healthy way. So we found someone who we think is wonderfully spiritually connected. His name is Kelly Buchanan. He's at our offices. We had an extra office, and he came up and asked us if we wanted to have somebody there. And we find people from the gym love to go over there, and because after a good workout, it's wonderful to have that. And he's also very intuitive and helps people not only heal from injuries or soreness or stiffness, but he also helps them to identify where grief is located in their body, because grief and emotions are physical phenomenon as well as psychological phenomenon. So sometimes moving through therapy helps to remove the blocks within our body.
That's wonderful news. I would like to again tell everybody the phone numbers to call in, 253-584-1480 in Tacoma, 253-584-1480. And in King County, 253-804-5765. In King County, 253-804-5765. What I am interested in now is that Vince has been working on a book.
Yes.
About post-traumatic syndrome.
Right.
And what interested me was that the West Wing had a series on about a week ago or so. And in that particular episode of The West Wing, they had a character with post-traumatic syndrome. And some people could not identify with what it was about. And I thought maybe you could do some further explaining of what it's about and why you're writing the book.
Right. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I was in Vietnam in 1966. I stepped on a landmine there, lost part of my foot. While I was only 20 years old when this all happened, I went through the physical recovery part very, very quickly. But I also found that there were aspects of my emotional and social recovery that I had never regained, because there was never any support or awareness back in that time about post-traumatic stress disorder. And so what happened was I always lived with a low-grade depression. I always felt somewhat isolated and separate from people. I know for a period of time that I experienced, whenever I smelled the sulfur of burning matches, it brought back the memory of stepping on the landmine. And I also had never dealt with the loneliness of being a 20-year-old, 11,000 miles from home, you know, having my foot blown off on a battlefield, spending 3 months in a hospital in Japan. I know the average age Vietnam veteran was 19-plus years of age, and I know there are a lot of guys out there and women mm-hmm. who experienced that, who never got the psychological assistance. Post-traumatic stress is a descriptor of ways that we have experienced some very profound and significant trauma in our life, but have never been able to fully psychologically, emotionally, or physically recover. Are you aware that 57,000 Vietnam veterans, Vietnam soldiers, died in Vietnam? Over the 20 years following that war, over 60,000 suicided themselves.
Oh, my.
So more suicided after the war. A lot of that is related. There is such a high degree of divorce, of dropouts, street people who are Vietnam veterans, of 85% drug and alcohol addiction amongst veterans. In other words, the trauma is so horrifying and deep within us that, and we simply, again, find coping strategies because we have no rational way of dealing with the deep terror, the rage, the anger, the grief. And that's what post-traumatic stress has been defined as, is that it's a way that following the event, because naturally our body goes into denial, we go into shock, we kind of shut down, and we learn to cope and survive in the world. But when there are events that challenge those parts of us that we have shut down, mm-hmm. it often rekindles the trauma of the past.
Exactly.
So you have what are called flashbacks, you know, or you have an overreaction to a circumstance that you would say in the everyday world, well, why is he reacting so strongly, or why is she? But it's the trauma from the past trying to find an avenue to move through. For me, for example, I had somebody work on my leg in therapy, and they were doing some acupressure. And this was 22 years after the event, and it put me into such a rage and such a terror that I had not realized that I had that kind of rage and terror within my body. And it took that kind of intervention for that suddenly to expose itself. 3 years ago, I was skiing in Lake Tahoe, and I broke my leg. I had gone skiing by myself. I had was hit by a snowboarder and broken my leg. I was taken to a local hospital down there, and I was standing in the middle of this doctor's office, and I broke down and began to sob and sob and sob. What I did not understand till I had gotten back and gotten some help for myself, that what that incident had re-represented for me was being isolated and alone, away from home and away from my loved ones, with nobody there who really knew who I was to love and support me. So I had carried a deep, deep well of sadness within myself that had never been identified. That event helped bring that forward. It helped move me toward more healing. Many people in this culture, it's not just war that brings about post-traumatic
stress. That's what I was
going
to bring up.
It's also people who have suffered deep traumas, the loss of a mother or father or loved one, a chronic death, violence and abuse, rape,
incest,
you know, all kinds of traumas, which is a lot of what we deal with in our in our group therapy process. People who have that kind of experience have maybe learned to cope and survive and put that down. But they may find that they struggle in intimacy and relationships, or they have a fear of getting close or committing themselves or trusting in other people. And usually that's related to old traumas that have been repressed. And they don't surface again until they are confronted with a level of vulnerability or involvement that challenges them.
Well, that's really fascinating because I read a book called Trauma and Recovery by Judith Herman. And she's talking about the same syndrome that you're talking about, the PTS. And she claimed that men being in war was one side of this coin. And the traumas that happened to women, such as incest and rape, were the other side of the coin. And they were both just as detrimental and needed recovery.
Absolutely.
And so one, it's not just a man's issue and it's not just a woman's issue. It actually deals with both.
Right. There are many, many traumas that have gone unspoken. Our social norms only cover a small portion of giving us skills to address conflict, but now we need to open ourselves and have the resources for the greater traumas of our lives.
Well, Vince, I want to thank you for an enlightening and delightful interview, and I would like to present to you this book that I've written, Roses Have Thorns. It's a book I've written that chronicles my spiritual growth from the very beginning of my childhood into the present. And it's prose and poetry, and I hope that you will enjoy reading it. It reads real quickly. It's such a small book. But
thank you very much, and I will bring you a copy. I hope to have my book, Boy Soldier, done by June.
Oh, I'd love to see it, and I know your audience that's listening would be eager to go out and buy it. So if you're interested, I also have tapes for people on domestic violence, VCR tapes I've made, and empowerment, and these go along with the issues we've been talking about today. Talk to you again next Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Maryland Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Maryland Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.
Thanks again for joining us on your conversation station, 1180 AM KLAY, and it is a pleasure to once again talk with the Reverend Marilyn Redman. Marilyn, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, you are becoming quite well known on 1180 AM because of your new call-in show. Happens every Wednesday during the noon hour, and a very spiritually oriented show, and you've had a lot of experience in this.
Yes, I've been working with spirituality and learning and studying it for the last 17 years.
And you've also written a book?
My book, Roses Have Thorns, is available at Amazon.com or through bookstores if you choose to go to the store and request it.
Sure.
It's a book that chronicles my spiritual journey. It's written in prose and poetry, and a lot of people have found it very helpful in identifying with their stories.
And you're also, are you not, in the midst of writing another?
Yes, I'm actually writing a self-help book that actually has the tools that I used in my spiritual journey so that people can also use the same tools and make the same successes in growing and going down a spiritual path. It's like a workbook that people can use, writing in things that they need to write and identify, and then be able to change things in their life that will help be beneficial. Instead of the old things they were getting, they can have a new, better life.
And also we should mention the videos. You've got a couple of videos produced. Once again, Spiritual Tools for Healing.
Yes, the empowerment is actually putting that spiritual energy into your life force so that you are not giving away your power and not being a victim anymore. And there are tools which you can use to turn your life around. And the other videotape is Spiritual Tools for Healing Domestic Violence. I, having been in those experiences, know what works and what can happen so that you can get healthy and healed, and it doesn't have to be the tail wagging the dog in your life anymore. So as you're healing through the domestic violence, the empowerment tools come into play. So they're kind of a companion set of videos that go together. One helps to show you how the healing can happen, and then what the empowerment shows you tools to proceed in your life so that you don't fall backwards.
Once again, our guest is Reverend Marilyn Redmond, and her program is heard on 1180 AM every Wednesday during the noon hour. Let's talk a little bit more about your background, because you were actually an instructor over at TCC, Tacoma Community College.
Yes. Prior to that, I taught school in the public school system for 30 years, and going into the junior college seemed like a natural option.
Sure.
And they were interested in having my empowerment class offered, and I taught that class at Tacoma Community College for several years. I am not teaching it this quarter, but have in the past, and hopefully will again. As people become more aware of, they are responsible for their lives, and they can choose to change whatever they need to change to grow and become more the success person that they want to become, more prosperous and have more abundance in their life. It's a matter of just learning what you need to do and follow through with it. It's not all that difficult, and it doesn't have to be that scary.
And that's one of the things that you offer, as you just mentioned, your background in education over at Tacoma Community College. You do tend to use a lot of your own experiences.
Yes,
to share.
I'm finding out that experience is a great teacher. And coming through on the other end, you do gain a lot of insight and understanding and the dynamics of what's been going on. And to offer those opportunities of understanding to other people so they can grow too, it's a real situation, not just a head trip. It comes from my heart. I use it in my counseling to help others, people identify and relate, and I can have more compassion because I've been there, done that.
Sure. And have a direct understanding.
Right. And so I am also working on a doctorate in holistic ministries, and that helps my counseling also.
And for people that would like more information, I know that you're available for speaking engagements, you do intuitive readings.
Yes, I have spoken internationally in Cairo, Egypt, and in Australia, so that I felt real honored that those requests came about.
Sure.
And today I am interested in going around and sharing with people, you know, if they're interested in having me come and talk. I have several different topics. One is on addictions and how it affects the family. Another one is on holistic health. Another one is...
You've got so many to choose from.
Yeah, I have some interesting. And the other one is and empowerment and how it can improve our lives. So if people are interested in those topics, I am available.
And the readings, and how would they get a hold of you?
They could call me for an appointment at 253-845-4907 and make an appointment with me. I do a variety of different psychic readings. I am very intuitive and enjoy doing it and helping people understand what they're about through that means, too.
And they can also get in touch with you every Wednesday during the noon hour, right?
Terrific. I'm glad you said that. Solutions with Marilyn is on the radio, and it's just a real joy. I have a lot of people lined up to be guests coast to coast. Today, the person will be in the room with me here, but next week we'll be calling Virginia and having a fellow from Virginia who works with regression and past lives. The lady today works with flower essences. She works with feng shui and teaches at the junior college herself, and also is an astrologer, and I've known her for quite a few years. She's my astrologer, and I do get flower essences from her, and I've taken her classes in feng shui. So she's a very knowledgeable lady. Reba Jean Kane will be joining us today.
Okay, once again, Solutions with Maryland, and it's every Wednesday during the noon hour. Maryland was mentioning one of the many guests that are on her program with her. And once again, you can hear Solutions with Maryland every Wednesday during the noon hour. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
As always, stay with us. More coming up on your conversation station, 1180 AM, KLAY.